Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're going to continue through our series on the faith of Abraham. This is our third teaching on it. And we're going to go back to the chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read another portion where the writer of Hebrews talks about the faith of Abraham. What we've discussed so far is, number one, the first week we talked about how because Abraham believed God, he was willing to leave behind the land of his fathers and live as a stranger in a foreign land, and how that speaks to us as we're looking unto Abraham as the father of our faith, as an example of the faith that we are to walk in, of how we are to have the faith as Abraham did, once we believe in Yeshua, that causes us to want to obey what God told Abraham to do and to be willing to live as a stranger in this land here where we're at. Being willing to leave behind our former ways and behaviors to walk in the righteousness of God. We talked about how it says in Scripture that Abraham was obedient unto God's voice, unto his commandments, and unto his law. And that is the example of our faith. Our faith in us should produce a desire to be obedient to the voice of God, his commandments, and his laws. And last week, we talked about how when John the Baptist was baptizing at the river, he instructed the Jewish people and the leaders of the Jewish people that if they wanted to be saved, if they did not want the axe taken to the root of the tree, then they needed to bear fruits of repentance. And that is what the real children of Abraham do, is they bear fruits of repentance. So we talked about how we, as people who are children of God, who are walking in the faith of God, if we want to be called the seed of Abraham, we need to bear fruits of repentance. So we're going to go back into Hebrews chapter 11 this week, and we're going to pick up on something else that we can learn from the life and the faith of Abraham. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only son, to whom it was said, "And Isaac, your seed shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he also received him back. So, what we're going to be talking about this week is this testing of Abraham and the faith that Abraham showed in his willingness to obey God in this situation. Okay. Now, as we see from this verse, we're going to dive into Genesis and go through this reading verse by verse and pick up and glean wisdom and knowledge from this story as an example unto us. Hebrews gives us a summary of this story of what Abraham went through with his testing. This testing involved Isaac. Remember, Abraham had Isaac at a very old age, and the faith of Abraham was tested even in believing when Yahweh had told him that he would have the seed as numerous, as multiple as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the ground. Abraham was without child, and Sarah was past the age of birthing children. But yet, Abraham chose to believe God. Abraham chose to be obedient to him, to leave the land of his fathers, to come and to live as a stranger in this far land, when in the physical, in the natural sense, what God was telling him did not make sense. It did not seem to add up, but he chose to believe what God had told him. And upon receiving Isaac, now he is tested, because Isaac represents the promise unto Abraham. And now he is being tested regarding the promise, the very thing that Abraham had waited for and believed for, and the very thing of why he had left the land of his fathers and was willing to live as a stranger in this land. So let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Now it happened after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. So I want to pause here with this statement that God tested Abraham. If we are going to be the children of Abraham, we can rest assured and know that just as Abraham's faith was tested, so will our faith be tested. He is going to test us, and there is a reason to why he will test us. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So what is the purpose of Yahweh's testing? It is how he examines to know what is in our hearts, what it is, the thing that we desire after inside of our hearts. What are we going after? So in testing Abraham, what he was seeing is, does Abraham love me? Does he love my commandments? Or does he love the promise that I gave him, the blessing that I gave him? Is he willing to give up the promise in order to obey my voice? Or you could say, does he love my promise or my blessings more than he loves me? It is through the testing that God is able to see what is in our hearts, whether or not we will keep his commandments. It is when we're being pressed is when we're going to find out what is truly inside of us. When things are going smooth and we're walking in the blessing and his promises and everything is joyful and it just seems so easy and smooth, it is easy in those moments to obey his voice. The question is, how are you going to respond? Are you going to obey him when maybe you don't feel the blessings are coming? When you don't feel like you're receiving the promises, are you going to stay faithful to his commandments? Do you love him? Because what does he say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We do not keep his commandments out of trying to earn our justification. We don't try to keep his commandments, trying to prove that we are worthy and good enough for his salvation. But we keep his commandments because we love him. We are saved and cleansed and justified by faith in Yeshua alone. But our faith should produce a love and desire to keep his commandments, and we should desire to keep his commandments even when it's hard, even when the blessings and the promises do not seem to be flowing. So are you able to stand the test? Because as children of Abraham, we will be tested. And we may be called on to be willing to give up something that may seem the most dear thing unto us. And he's going to check and see, are you willing to let that go in order to follow after me? Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So let no one say he is tempted. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. He himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So the first thing I want to talk about here is, James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under the trial, who has been approved. So the one who goes through the test, who has been approved, who has proved his love for God. Blessed is that man. So if you really want to receive the blessing from God, because what will that person receive? He will receive the crown of life. Okay. So upon going through the trial, upon being tested, what we show in the testing is that we are ready and we are worthy to receive the crown of life. So blessed is the person who has been what? Proved. We have proved ourselves to receive the crown of life. And in order to prove yourself, you have to be willing to persevere under the test. We will be called upon to persevere. How do we persevere? We persevere by, when we go through the trial, keeping our faith. We persevere by, when going through the trial, staying obedient to his commandments, continuing to show that we love him. And then James goes on, and what is my opinion, separating a person going under trial and testing from temptation. You will be tested by God, but you are not tempted by God. You are not tempted or try to draw away from obeying God by him, but by your flesh. It is the own lust of your flesh that will draw you away from wanting to obey God's commandments. God is not tempting you to disobey him. He may test you in a matter to see if while you're going through that trial, you will be led away by the lust of your flesh. So there is a difference there. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only one, whom you love, Isaac, and go forth to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So here is the command that God is giving him. This is the test. When he tests us, he's going to give us a command to see if we're willing to follow his command. And that command will probably go and struggle against something that our flesh truly loves and desires. His command to bring his son, to offer him up, the one whom he loved, the one in whom the promise was resting upon, Isaac. Are you willing to bring that which you hold dearest and lay that down and offer it up to me? Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So just as we talked about in our first message, our first teaching upon the faith of Abraham, when God called unto Abraham and told him and commanded him to leave the land of his fathers, to go to this foreign land, what did Abraham do? Abraham obeyed. Abraham immediately got up and left the land of his fathers and went to the land in which Yahweh was showing him and giving unto him as an inheritance unto his seed. So here in this testing, God approaches Abraham and tells him to gather his son, to bring him to the mount, to offer him as an offering unto Yahweh. What does Abraham do? He arose early in the morning. He immediately obeys the voice of God. He saddles his donkey. He takes his servants with him, and he split some wood for the burnt offering, and he brings that with him as well. He gets his supplies ready. He immediately obeys the voice of God. He does not try to reason with God. He does not try to barter with God, to try to do something different in his testing or his trial. He doesn't argue with God. He immediately hears the commandment of God and immediately is obedient to the command that God has given him. That is the faith of Abraham. And if we are going to walk in the faith of Abraham, we need to be as Abraham. People who do not barter with God, people who do not plead with God, people who do not try to talk him into doing something different when he commands us to do something. But when he commands us to do something, we do as Abraham did. We immediately obey his voice. Let's look at verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship, and we will return to you." Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So Abraham has reached the mountain. And when he gets close to the mountain, he tells his young men to stay here with the donkey. And he takes Isaac and he takes his supplies. And from this point forward, it is just going to be Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham is continuing in his obedience. He is not backing down. He has not become fearful at this moment. Remember what Hebrews said. Because he believed that the one who told him to do this was able to raise him from the dead. Abraham knew that no matter what happened, no matter how this played out, if he was obedient, if he was faithful to what God was telling him to do, then the promise would still be intact. The promise would not die. That was the faith of Abraham. Even though in his mind, He could not figure out how it may happen. He knew that the promise would happen as long as he was obedient. He had seen the faithfulness of God already in his life, and he was relying upon the faithfulness he had seen of God in his life. And that teaches us something. We need to remember and recall and meditate constantly on the times that we have seen the faithfulness of God in our life. Because that is the thing that's going to provide the fuel for our faith and the willingness to be as Abraham was, to know that even though we may not be able to figure out and know exactly how it's going to play out, we can know that he is going to do what he said he's going to do. And we can rely upon our past experiences of seeing his faithfulness and his goodness. And the other thing that's very interesting on this, as Abraham is approaching this mountain, Isaac asks the question. He sees that everything is there to give an offering, but he doesn't actually see the lamb itself on which they're going to slaughter. So he asks, "Where is the lamb?" Verse 8. And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Does Abraham at this point believe that he is actually going to have to follow through with what God is telling him to do? Because this is a very interesting statement on which Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. So we see in the midst of this test that is going on, Abraham has faith that God will provide the thing that is needed. Abraham had faith for provision. Hebrews tells us he had faith for resurrection. Our faith should produce obedience to obey his voice. Our faith should cause us to walk in repentance. Our faith should believe in his provision, that he will provide a way for us to be obedient unto his voice. And our faith should cause us to respond and believe in his resurrection. His resurrection means so much unto us. First of all, that we will be raised up and we will put on incorruption and we will enter into the gates of the new Jerusalem. But also his resurrection means that we in the current body have been raised in a newness of life. And we have the power to walk in obedience unto his word, and we are no longer a slave unto our flesh. So Abraham believed that what was needed for him to obey God would be provided unto him. Now let's look at verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and put him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the boy and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me." So as he drew near and he got to the place that God had called him to go, he gets to the point where he has Isaac bound unto the altar and he has the knife raised up and he is ready to slay his son when the angel of Yahweh calls unto him and stops him. Abraham was going to be obedient to the voice of God until the very end. Did not know how it would play out. But God stops him. And upon stopping him, what does the angel of Yahweh say unto him? For now I know you fear God. God was testing Abraham to see if he feared him. And by Abraham being obedient unto God, it showed unto God that he feared him. Fearing God and walking in obedience go hand in hand. If you have a fear of God, then you will walk in obedience to God. Now, a fear of God is not that we are afraid of him, that we're timid of him, and that we're afraid to approach him. Because Scripture tells us that because of the blood of Yeshua, we can boldly come before his throne. But yet there is a fear that we should have, and that is a fear of reverence. We should reverence him as our master and as our Lord. And we show that we reverence him. We show that we have made him our master, our Lord, our God, by being obedient unto his commands. If we are disobedient unto him, we are not walking in reverence unto him. We are not fearing him. He is not our God. He is not our master or our Lord. We are not serving him. We are his servants, but yet on the other hand, we are servants who can boldly come before his throne. We are his servants, yet we are also the apple of his eye. But because we are his servant, we are called to walk in obedience unto him. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there was a ram after it had been caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, Yahweh will provide, as it is said this day, in the mount of Yahweh, it will be provided. So Abraham was obedient unto God. He passed the test. And Yahweh provided an offering unto them. Just as Abraham had said a few verses before, Yahweh will provide. And upon being obedient to what he was told to do, and even being obedient when he was told to stop, and God seeing that truly Abraham feared him, Yahweh provided unto Abraham to sacrifice. Yahweh will provide that which is needed and that which is necessary if we will be willing to have the faith of Abraham, to be obedient unto the voice of God, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. Even when we don't fully understand how things are going to play out, even if it's going to cost us something that we love the most. Yahweh will provide. Abraham learned that. Abraham knew it. And Abraham had the faith that Yahweh will provide. And Yahweh will provide unto us. He will provide what is necessary and needed to do what he has called us and commanded us to do. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.